Many times I will begin with some jokes. Those of you who know me know I love to laugh. I don't have any of those this morning. What I have is a heart sharing for you. We're into some extremely difficult days. I don't think I need to tell you that, or should I inform you of that? We're into some really difficult days. I want to tell you just a brief story about an incident that occurred this week. I was out at a home. Some of you know I also do real estate, and I was out at a home, and a gentleman walked in, and he began to talk, and it was like somebody... Have you ever been in one of those conversations where they popped in a nickel, and it was just there for the afternoon, you know? Anyway... I shouldn't tell you this. I kept making my way over toward the door. Yeah, sure, I understand. Yeah, I hear you. But he went on and on and on forever, but he made some interesting points. He's an economist who travels around the world, and he was very agitated regarding the state of our economy. And he looked at me and he said, Kevin, he said, you should know. He said, as far as I'm concerned, I shouldn't even tell you this, but as far as I'm concerned, I'm not putting pen to paper for anything with the bank right now. He talked about the signs of what he called a coming depression. Then the week goes on. This was like Monday or Tuesday. Yesterday, in my office, another person walked in and started saying almost word for word exactly the same thing. Only he was at my office and I couldn't get out of it that time. But his concern was for people being prepared for not just a little rally that we may see in the stock market, but what they felt would be an impending depression. I'm not here to depress you further, but I am here to say, could be. But I'll tell you one thing that makes me angry, and that's watching the enemy try to put a spirit of fear through our nation and through an awful lot of people. It is one thing to be officially and appropriately prepared, and we should be. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves, we should be well aware of what's going on and we should prepare ourselves. Thank God for the family of God. But we are a community of faith who put our trust not in the stock market. Can somebody say amen, please? Not in the stock market. Not in the banking institution. Love bankers. Love people. Well, I love some bankers. Love people. But we put our trust in Jesus. Turn to each other and say, come on, put your trust in Jesus. That doesn't mean we put our heads in the sand, but we understand difficult days are upon us, but it doesn't shake the Lord. He's still on the throne. Someone say amen. We have had these kinds of times throughout history, and there are some given to a perspective that there are a few who control the purse strings and therefore control the masses. I can understand and look at some of those valid considerations or potentially valid considerations. There are some who say we're going to control the population, and if you will spend your life making things green, you will accomplish your own righteousness and earn your way into heaven. And I understand stewardship of the earth. There are some who say there's nothing you can do. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. How many are glad that Jesus is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords? He's still the one who created the sky. Turn to each other and say, He created it. There are some who say capitalism has it all wrong. The economics are all wrong. It's capitalism's fault. Well, I thank God I live in this country where we have most of the freedoms, or many of the freedoms we've always had, and people can pursue getting wealth. There's a verse about that in Scripture, and the Lord, the Bible says, maketh rich and adds no sorrow to it. But that's when the Lord does it. How many of you understand? You can give your soul to the pursuit of riches with ill-gotten gain, and there is great sorrow to it. And we're watching some of that. We're watching a spirit of greed, a spirit of fear, and God is calling our country to Himself in repentance. But He's calling us to be those who seek Him first. Say it with me. Seek Him first. There's the name of the message this morning if you're taking notes. There's no one who's really a good enough prognosticator who can tell us every bit of preparation. It is wise, again, to understand the signs of the times. It's wise to prepare. It's not a sin to have possessions. Now, somebody understand, please, that's what I said this morning. Pastor Kevin is not saying it's a sin to have possessions. Okay? It's not a sin to have possessions. You know what is a sin? To let possessions have you.
Yes.
Smile. The Bible says it's the love of money that's the root of evil. Not that money is, the love of money. The passion, the all-consuming nature. The Greek word for love of money there is philaguria. Say with me, philaguria. Put them together, philaguria. Greek scholars in the room this morning. And that literally means the passion, the all-consuming pursuit for money. The problem is when the love of money controls people, there becomes a ruthlessness, an insatiable master is the love of money. Because you know, the love of money can never be satisfied. You get something, you want something more. Anybody ever feel like that? I know, don't raise your hands, I'm not telling. Loving money can be the root of all kinds of evil. Marriages break up because of money pressure almost more than anything else. Illegal acts take place, blow-ups in partnerships, envy, immorality, lying, ruthlessness, stealing, inheritances. How many times have you heard over the years, if you haven't experienced it yourself, by the time the end rolls around, the love of money grips some people and it destroys and divides family. It's a tragic thing, isn't it? A tragic thing. The worst scenario, of course, is that the love of money can take someone from the love of God, if they let it. It's tragic when money replaces God in somebody's lives. And the Scripture says those kind of people find themselves pierced through with many sorrows. And literally in the Greek, the imagery there is constantly being impaled by sharp objects that they continue to push against. Now, how many know when you push against something sharp, you usually stop, right? Ow!
Yeah.
Those who are loving the wrong kinds of things and pierce themselves through with many sorrows, the Greek imagery is they keep pushing against the very thing that's impaling them. Doesn't make sense, does it? But there's a controlling spirit about some of these things. Now, it would be a real mistake that the Apostle Paul, who taught that scripture, is also teaching that we should not be concerned about money. There is more scripture almost on money from Jesus than almost any other topic in the Bible. So there is an appropriate use of money, and God is the one who puts money into people's hands to spend. And God is the one who owns how much of it, church?
All.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. How much does He own?
All.
You sure? So if God's the owner and we're the loaner, He asks us to do what? Get Him back some. And He gives us a whole bunch to live on. He asks us to steward those gifts that He's given us. I've watched people, poor people, be literally consumed with the love of money and be more twisted up with it than what some very wealthy people have been. I've watched wealthy people have giving spirits. Many of you have heard the stories over the years of Le Tourneau, who was a heavy machinery inventor and operator, gave 90 to 99% of his income away to Christ and to the kingdom of God, and still had millions left over to live on. Now, some of you are looking at me like, Lord, just please test me with a little of that. Just a little. But Jesus speaks to a crowd about a rich young man, one who had possessions, who gave himself to the pursuit of them. And this rich young man, if you recall the scripture in Luke chapter 12, needed more room to put even more in his barns. So he was going to tear down his old barns to put up his new barns for his crops and his goods, because the rich young man put his trust in possessions. Let's go to Luke chapter 12, verse 19, please. Luke 12, verse 19. And I'll have them on the overheads as well, but it's great when you can see it out of your own scripture. Luke 12, verse 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now, did you see that scripture? Now, I know a lot of wonderful, sincere, wonderful, precious people who have stored for future years. That is not a sinful thing to do. But if the love of money grips you, if that's your passion more than Jesus, then it becomes an idol in our lives. Listen, I don't have much of a portfolio, but I've lost as much as anybody has out of that portfolio. Some people I know have lost 30, 50% of their portfolios. Church, does it make us stop worshiping?
No.
No. It's grievous. How many can say it's frustrating? Amen.
Amen.
But He's still Lord. Amen. He still deserves our praise. He's still the one who loves us first, and we get to love Him. Isn't that true?
Amen.
Jesus condemns this young man as a fool, and it concludes with verses 20 and 21. But God said to him, you fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So it is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.
How do you combat the love of money? Be rich toward God.
Say that with me. Be rich toward God. That phrase in the Greek is pluteoistheos. Pluteoistheos. And it means wealthy into or to God.
Really want to make your money work for you? That's the phrase, right? We've got to make our money work for us.
You give it to Jesus and His kingdom.
Now, some of you are going, what, is he going to pass a plate here this morning? Maybe it'd be a good idea, right?
I don't ever pass a plate. We don't pass a plate in this church. We might be unusual for some of you in that regard. That's not what we do. We believe that loving worshipers give to Jesus as an act of loving worship. I said, loving worshipers give to Jesus as an act of loving worship.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
I rarely ever talk about money. You're just one of the lucky few to hear it.
There's a lot of character, a lot of heart that God is after in how we deal with our money and finances that God has put into our hands helps to reveal it. Be rich toward God. Give to Jesus and give it to His kingdom. There are root philosophies active in the world today. The love of the world, the Bible says. Make sure that you don't love the world or the things of the world. There's a philosophy where man has the answers and man's got the provision. Just throw enough money at it and it'll solve everything.
I'm not seeing your bright, shiny teeth.
Oh. But man doesn't have all the answers.
Jesus had condemned the religious leaders in this section of Scripture of Luke chapter 12 who wanted to use people for power and position and recognition. They were full of hypocrisy. And the meaning of the word hypocrisy means to wear another mask. They were hiding who they really were, the love of money, that which gripped their soul, and this lovely, long-flowing robe and religious hypocrisy. It was the wearing of a mask, and Jesus condemns that. He wants our heart to say the same thing as our countenance.
And if you love Jesus, you have a radiant countenance, right?
Turn to each other and smile.
Now look at each other and say, boy, you got a nice radiant countenance.
Yeah. So you have the rich young ruler, and you have Jesus condemning the hypocrites, and the Pharisees are the ones who are saved for that kind of perspective constantly throughout Jesus' ministry. And then he turns to his disciples, and he begins to teach them the real heart of what's in his spirit. How many know that fear of disaster and impending doom is not new just for our generation? It's not new. These things are cyclical, if you will, throughout the ages. And there are problems financially, and some are rich and some are not. And the poor you have with you always, and on and on and on. These things are not brand new. So Jesus turns to his disciples. He tells these stories about the hypocrites, about a rich young man who's possessed by his love of money. And he says, now look, here's what I want you to get. You're my disciples. And we are called to be his what? His what? How many in this room are a disciple of Jesus? All right, so therefore, Lord, I want your heart. What is that heart? What does he say? Verses 22 through 34 of Luke chapter 12. Luke 12, 22 to 34. We'll do them a few verses at a time. Then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, don't worry, be happy. He says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is, say it with me please, more than food. And the body is more than clothing. Verse 24. Consider the ravens. For they neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn. God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? Now the raven, please understand in context here. The raven was considered unclean by the Jews. But God even cares for them. They don't have an elaborate farming system for themselves, and God still provides for them. It's not that farming systems are wrong. But have we forgotten that God is our provider? Who's our provider?
God.
Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. You're loved by God. Verse 25, look at this. And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Man, I tell you, when I was growing up, I was the youngest of three brothers, and my middle brother and I were awfully close, and we were going to reach 6 feet. Oh, we're going to get to 6 feet, man, and I'd do stretching exercises. You know, come on, you're all looking at me like, you're bizarre. Anybody else ever do anything like that? You know, you stretch out. Oh, God, I've got to get there. I never got there. My brother got very close. He might be 5'11 and 3/4, but he's not 6 feet. You can stretch. You can do all you want. But sometimes you're just not going to make it there. And by worrying, you understand, worry is called the socially acceptable sin. Because, you know, you can be in a room full of Christians, and a lot of people can really be knowing they've done the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? And when it comes time for confession, we want to confess the light little stuff. You know, somebody over in the other side of the room, they're guilty of gluttony. Somebody else might be guilty of a wrong relationship. Somebody else, and what are you guilty of, young man? I worry every now and then. Worry can be all-consuming, and it has to do with who owns you and who's your Lord. Do you really know? Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Worrying, taking anxious thought, won't add a single inch to your height or a single day to your lifespan. What does the Bible say? Philippians 4, verse 6. Say it with me, would you please? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. With what? With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The teaching of Jesus, again, is not to suggest that it's inappropriate to have possessions or properly prepare for them, but do they have you, and does the pursuit of them steal your heart and life away from Him? Consider the lilies. Okay. There we go. Now we can consider the lilies.
Thank you, Pat. Verse 27.
How they grow. They neither toil nor spin. You're not seeing that flower anxiously work its way out of the ground.
Just grows. Interesting.
Neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? The bird flies and has provision. The flower grows and is beautiful in its display. We can tend the garden and the Lord uses us for that. We water, we fertilize, we make everything possible for its growth and prepare. But God is the one who's in control. What does He really want from us? Luke 12, verse 29. Do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. You ever known anybody like that? Sure. Ever been somebody like that? Sure. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father, notice relationship, your Father knows that you need these things. But say it with me, please. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Does that sound like you have to struggle to get Dad to care? No. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourself money bags which do not grow old. A treasure in the heavens that does not fail. Where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, say it with me please, that whole verse. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Listen, you've watched it along with me. We've seen people win the lottery. $30 million. Right? $60 million, $100 million, that within a year or two are totally destroyed. Their family fought and divided. The divorce has occurred. All of a sudden they got family coming out of the woodworks that they've never even heard of. And they buy possessions and flood their lives with them. And they don't know how to handle the money. And pretty soon it's gone. And remember the most, probably the most famous one. I don't remember his name, but I remember the last picture I saw of him sitting dejected on a sidewalk in his cowboy hat. And he said these words publicly, I wish I'd never won. What do you put your trust in? We value the wrong things in life. We pay astronomical, horrible sums of money to singing stars and actors and actresses and sports stars, and we pay them outrageous sums of money, and some of them are very good, but many of them have no idea how to handle their money, and within a few years it's gone up smoke and or drugs or cocaine or multiple lives and lies, and their lives are devastated. How many sports stars have you read about that end up on the streets because they were cared for by a system, and when that life or career-ending injury comes, they're devastated and don't know what to do and lose everything? Because we value the wrong things in life. It is what or who owns you that makes all the difference. Verse 31. Say it with me, please. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Matthew 6, verse 33. Actually, there's a section, if you're taking notes, Matthew 6, 25 to 34. Matthew 6, 25 to 34. And I'm just going to hit a couple of highlights. Therefore I say to you, it's not up there, Pat, I'm sorry. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. What you'll eat, what you'll drink, nor about your body. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Matthew 6, verse 26. Verse 28. Why do you worry about clothing? Verse 31. Therefore, do not worry. After these things, the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. But, verse 33, and I love this, out of Luke, it doesn't have the prioritizing in the same way that you find it in Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And His righteousness and all these things shall be added to you. And then one more time for good measure in this short little section, He says again, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Okay, I'm just going to slack back and let everybody else prepare for me and everybody else, they can take care of me. That's not what the Bible's teaching either. But the Bible is saying, don't be anxious. Know who your God is and how much He loves you. Seek Jesus. Worship God. The Greek there is deseo. Seek and worship God. Deseo. If you desire something, if you want to covet something, covet Jesus and His presence. That's okay. That's legal. If you really want to covet something, covet Him face to face. 1 Chronicles 16:11. I'm going to read that in the New King James and then the Message. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face forevermore. Out of the Message that says, study God and His strength. Seek His presence day and night. Psalm 105:4. Again, New King James and Message version. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face forevermore. Out of the Message, keep your eyes open for God. Watch for His works. Be alert for the signs of His presence. May I exhort and encourage us all, as much time as we spend in the negative spirit of the news and talk shows, we should be spending as much time in the Word of God, understanding what His news is. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Bathe yourself in the Word of God, in a spirit of faith and in prayer. Again, our society is full of fear. Let's reject the fear and accept the faith. If the enemy of our souls could literally tie us up in the bondage and the grip of fear, that would effectively neutralize us. Then who's going to bring the good news to the world that desperately needs Him? Church, let's bring good news. Amen? Let's put our trust in Him and bring good news. Now, one other element of what happens, and I want to just touch on this. I don't hit this very much, but it's important. A lot of people start saying things like and doing things like, I can't afford to give to Jesus. I can't afford to give at church. I can't afford to tithe. Folks, the Bible says it's robbery from God not to give to God. And He says if you stop giving in your nation won't be blessed. Where's that, Pastor Kevin? Let's go to the Scripture. Matthew, or Malachi rather, chapter 3, verses 8 through 12, and let the Scripture speak to itself. Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse because you've robbed me. Even this what? How many of you understand? You know, we used to have things called blue laws. You didn't go shopping on Sunday, and there were a lot of things you couldn't do on Sunday. And you went to church, and you gave. And even as a child, you set aside a certain portion of money typically. Kids now, they're not raised that way. People don't give. It's take it or leave it or whatever. But God still lives by His principle, and His Word is still true. And if you'll still trust Him and give to God, He will bless you. Anybody in this room want to be blessed? Come on, I said, anybody in this room want to be blessed? Sure. Look at this. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing, there won't be room enough to receive it. How many in this room can outgive God? Come on, let's see the show of hands. Hallelujah. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. All the nations will call you blessed, for you'll be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Giving is a determination of heart. It indicates that you trust God. Again, church, we don't even passive plate here. That's not what we do. But when you trust Him, when you give to Him, watch what He does for you. Now, how many of you understand that sometimes, you know, there is an error kind of a teaching that says, you know, you give me as your ministry the $10,000, that's all I need, and God will give you Cadillacs.
Well, I don't believe that's what the Bible teaches. Some people have really committed error, and there were a lot of Cadillacs foreclosed on. Picked up. Listen, do you know sometimes God will give you back immeasurably in peace, mercy, forgiveness, a sense of His presence and love. Now, it can also be provision. I believe there's reality to the Scripture on that. But the blessings of God come in precious ways. I'm not talking amounts. The Bible has certain things that it teaches. I'm not even going into all of that this morning. I'm talking about who owns your heart. And will we allow our heart to be adjusted away from the Word of God because of fear? Or will we allow ourselves to say, wait a minute, I'm standing under the hand of a gracious God who loves me, and I'm going to keep on singing, and I'm going to keep on giving, and I'm going to keep on living, and I'm going to keep on loving, and I'm going to keep on shouting, and let the world know that Jesus saves. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And He's worth it. He's so worth it. If Jesus owns you this morning, He's got your trust, your faith, and your heart. These fears are real, church. They're real. We have a lot of people becoming very faint of heart all around us. And we need to compassionately love them and pray for them. And sometimes we waver in the same thing. All I can tell you is in the early morning hours, I felt the Spirit of the Lord speak to my heart. Say, Kevin, I want you to let my people know that I love them. And this is based on walking with me and trusting me. It's not what the world does, it's what He does. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Let's keep our trust in Him. The conclusion of the matter in just a few minutes here. This conclusion will only take me 30 minutes. I'm kidding. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 12. Now, godliness with contentment, what does the Bible say? Is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Alan Ueda reminded us the other night when we were gathered together of what Bill Cosby's famous statement was to his children. I brought you into this world, and I can take you out. Sounds a lot like that, doesn't it? We brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and clothing, with these, let us be content. Our society is given to breed discontent. Many of us have these things. Not too many of us are sitting here naked this morning. And I'll bet you, after church, we'll have some food back there. But you see, there's something inside that goes, I want. Well, there's nothing wrong with wanting and desiring and praying and working and preparing. But it's who owns our heart. Having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, and that man of course is men and women, but you, O men and women of God, flee these things. Pursue what? Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I think that it was February when the TV channels were supposed to change. Wasn't it February? And the TV channels were supposed to change, and you better get your digital box. If you don't have a digital antenna, you better be on cable or dish or get your digital box. And then it became June. You better get your digital box so you can get the signal. How many of you know we better make sure that our heart tuner is tuned in to receive the signal of God? We better make sure we can keep hearing His voice and seek Him face to face and say, okay, Lord, I want to hear you. And when I put my trust in the wrong things, I respond to that conviction and repent of that and turn away from it. Jesus, I want you. And I want to stand with my friends. And in these hours of fear, I want to strengthen. These times of discouragement, I want to encourage, which means put courage in. That's what that word literally means. When our banking system and our automobile system and every other system in our country shakes, remember the Bible says God is going to shake everything that can be shaken. But that which is true and of Him will remain. Love Him first. Seek Him first. Put our trust in Him. Because He loves you. Keep your heart right in tune. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Stay in His Word. What does the Bible have to say to me about what's going on? Seek His face and love His presence. Trust Him and prove it by continuing to give and serve and love. Seek Him first. And when the enemy tries to make you afraid, when the devil tries to make you afraid, take a breath. Get a grip. Put your trust in Jesus and rebuke the devil and send him fleeing in the name of the Lord. If you need some help doing it, call a friend and say, pray for me. I've been fighting fear today. Let's stand together, shall we? How many want to seek Him first? Let's stand. Here we go. Let's seek the Lord and put our trust in Him. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Seek ye first the kingdom of God.